Hello.
Yo.
Hi.
And how is everyone this evening?
Well, good.
Everything's great.
We're the last of the Mohicans. I don't know. Where's Patty?
Patty? I left her a message, so.
Shlomo's in Belgium, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they're there for the bat mitzvah.
Says a hell, skip it a jump.
Yeah, they just go all over the world from one thing to the next.
They do.
Always good things.
Yeah, as long as it's
when you have a big family like that, it's always, you always have a simcha. It's nice.
That's wonderful.
No, we support simchas.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, are we ready?
We're ready.
Yes.
Okay.
We're ready.
Let's do it then.
Who are we studying this evening?
We are to Judges 19. I thought it would be appropriate because last week we did Judges 18.
That sounds like a good idea.
You know, I tell you, that sounds pretty cool.
You know, that's just me. We can argue about it if you'd like.
No, I'm not in the mood for arguing.
Okay, well, if that's the case, we're just going to go for it.
Okay. Right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's go. We start off by saying as followed. Vayhi bayamim ahem, umelech ein b'Yisrael, vayhi ish levi, gar b'yachasei harefai, v'yikachu isha pilegesh, v'yibes lechem Yehuda. Marcia, am I boring you?
Yeah, well, no, I'm just real tired, Rabbi. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, it starts off very interesting. It says that in those days, there was no king in Israel, and there was a fellow, Levi, who lived in Harafayim, and he took with him a wife who was a concubine. Now, compare this to chapter 17, Yud Zayin, Pasuk Vav, the beginning of the last story.
So there was a man who lived. There was no king in Israel at this time, and this man Levi. What was his name? And he took as his wife a woman who had been a concubine to another man.
He took a concubine for himself.
Oh, he took a concubine for. So then he married her after he took her as a concubine?
No, he just had her as a concubine. That was it.
She mentioned the word wife, and so I make
a
difference.
He took a woman.
He took a woman, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, as a concubine.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, it happens, right?
Okay, it does.
Now are you guys on Yud Zayin Vav?
Yeah.
So how does the last story begin?
Bethlehem of the family of Judah. There was a Levi, but he lived there.
Where are you? What chapter?
You're 17?
No, 19.
Right.
No, 19, Rabbi.
Six. You did 7, Alan. That's not Bob.
Yes.
Oh. In those days, there was no, you can learn that.
I know.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. A man would do whatever.
And how does 19 begin?
There was no king.
Right. The focus on these last stories is this is a time of lawlessness.
Ah.
There is no king. There is no king. Everyone's kind of doing whatever they want. So this guy, all of a sudden, he's got himself a concubine. There is a major discussion, which we've discussed previously, on the topic of whether a concubine is limited only to a king or anyone's allowed to have a concubine. So on the one hand, it would seem from here that anyone could have a concubine.
Well, was she a nice girl, this concubine?
Yeah, you know, she...
Funny, I think it's funny. You got a few... What? You're not thinking that's funny,
yeah,
Rabbi.
She was, I'll be honest with you, she wasn't a great cook.
Oh.
She had other qualities. Okay.
She had other qualities. You know, she would have tap dance, I think.
So, okay.
But thank you for asking.
Okay, yeah.
So we're living at a time of lawlessness.
Okay.
And he takes a concubine. Now, some people will argue this indicates that a concubine is allowed even to a non-king, Other people say, no, there's no proof here because it's a time of lawlessness. The fact that this person, who said he's a good guy? We have to discuss this later on.
Where did they meet?
They met at a bar. They met at a bar.
Well, was she Jewish?
She was an Aquarius. That was an Aries.
Oh.
That's what he asked her.
Okay.
What is your sign?
Okay.
Okay, we're all good?
Right. Bye. So we don't know if she was Jewish.
Rabbi, are all these stories happening around the same time?
So we're going to have to discuss this because just like we discussed last time, we are concerned about the chronological order. And we'll see soon enough why, even though it appears that at the very end of the book, we have reason to believe it happened actually much earlier. Okay. So here we are, as we are talking about lawlessness. There is no judge at this point, and this fellow has himself a concubine. Beis, v'tizna ala pilag sho, v'telech me'ito al beis aviyah. So with that, she goes and she is unfaithful to her husband. I didn't mean to shock you like that, Marcia.
Maybe she must have been a shiksa. Yeah, concubine.
Right? So with that, he throws her out of the house.
Right.
She goes back to living with her father. And she's there for 4 months. So eventually he decides, you know what? I feel bad about this. And he goes to get her back. Okay. Now he goes and he goes together with his helpful sidekick, and they go to bring her back. Now, if you look at the sources, the key word that I translated here as being unfaithful is batizne. Okay, so if you look at your translation, right, it would be in the beginning of days, so 19:2. So how does the translation translate that?
His concubine deserted him and left him for her father's house.
Right, so deserted her.
Deserted.
Right, that's what it's going with. So that's questionable. What do you mean deserted? What does the word batizna mean? What word is it? What's the root? Zion Nun Hey. What means? Zona.
Which is a prostitute.
Right, harlot, as we say in the biblical.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's okay. I was just concerned for Marsha's virgin ears, you see.
Oh, I would say congressman.
Congressman. Okay.
Right, so batizna, right, comes from the word zona, right, and therefore batizna sounds like that she was unfaithful. However, if you look at the Gemara in Gittin, it has a different understanding, right? It says, what exactly did she do in order to upset him? So it says that Tizna Pilaksha Rabbi Yasa Omar Zavuv Matzalah. So according to one opinion, what happened? In fact, he found a fly in the soup. And that's why he threw her out.
Oh.
Wow.
As you would say, oh.
Oh. So, oh.
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 So the question is, why exactly does it say that? Yes. Why doesn't it translate it simply that she was unfaithful? So Tosfos says, why are we going through that? So Tosfos explains the fact that he agreed to take her back, that indicated that if she was unfaithful, he would not be allowed to take her back. So the fact that it was lawless means that it couldn't have been unfaithful, but rather it had to mean something else. That for some reason or another, she left. Okay, well, now he wants to take her back. So he goes to his father-in-law's house and says, okay, 4 months is long enough. I'm here to pick up my wife. So the father-in-law was more than happy to get rid of her again. You know how fathers are. So in fact, 3 days they partied. They were so happy that they were back. So it's the fourth day, he's ready to go home. And he says, don't rush. Why are you rushing? Have a bite to eat. And then after we eat, you'll go home. So they had quite a party, the two of them. And he says, oh, come on, why don't you rest a little bit? Pasuk Zayin, he said, listen, it's already late. We've been doing this all day. Stay the night, you'll leave in the morning tomorrow. So there's day number four. He says, you know what? You're not going to leave without breakfast, are you? Why don't we have something to eat again before you go? And once again, they have quite a party, the two of them. So he says again, you know what? We partied so much, it's getting late. Why don't you stay the night? You'll stay the night, you'll get a good night's rest, and then in the morning, you'll go then. So this guy says, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm never going to get out of here. You know how in-laws are. So here he was going, him and his servant and his concubine, and they had their caravan with them. And they said, you know what? That's enough. I'm leaving. But they left late, so it was already nighttime. So they were by the Jebusites. You remember the Jebusites, right?
I remember the name.
Right? And they said, Yir Aleph, 11, Hein im Yevus, Vayom Rad Ma'od, Vayom Ha'nara Adonav, L'chonav V'nasur El Ir HaYevusi HaZos V'adavrim Bo. He said, listen, it's already late. Why don't we go into this Jebusite city? We'll spend the night there. Vayom Elav Adonav, Lo Nasur El Ir Nachri Asher Obi Bnei Yisrael, Heina, Varvarnu Ad Giva. He said, listen, we're not going to go into a non-Jewish city. We'll go a little further. Now, what was the name of the city that they were in here? We skimmed over it.
The father-in-law?
Jebus?
What?
The father-in-law?
No. The city that they didn't want to stop in because it wasn't Jewish.
You said Jebus.
They were near Jebus.
Jebus.
Which is Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, yeah.
Jerusalem. Wait a second. Jerusalem is not a Jewish city? What is this? The Palestinians?
Oh boy.
What's it called?
Uh-oh, big trouble.
Not good. Not good. So what kind of business is this? That is why. So when did we capture Jerusalem? We captured Jerusalem at the very beginning of Shoftim. This is why some people say this story is out of order.
Yeah.
Because for the entirety of this book, Jerusalem has been a Jewish city. Right? Let's go all the way back to the first chapter. Let's see if we can find it quickly. Look at the first chapter. Aleph Ches.
Uh-huh.
Where you got an Aleph Ches? Read the Pasuk.
I'm in.
this one? You love Talmud, that one? B'nai Yehuda, B'yushalayim, that?
Right, correct.
V'yil chadu ota v'yachruha mefi harav et ha'ir shalfu v'esh.
Okay, what's the translation?
The children of Judah then waged war against Jerusalem. They conquered it and struck it down by the edge of the sword, and they set fire, set the city on fire.
Right, so it seems very early, right? The eighth verse of the whole book, we already captured it, and it's a Jewish city.
Right, the very beginning.
Right, that's about as early as you can get. Still, here it says, I'm not going to go there because it's a non-Jewish city. So
that
would indicate that we're not in order here. Okay, so they don't want to go to Jerusalem. Instead, they want to go to the Giv'ah. What's a Giv'ah?
Ramah. Right, in Giv'ah or in Ramah. Like, they're two different places.
Right, so what is a Giv'ah and Ramah? Do we have a translation?
It just says in English the same as in Hebrew.
Right. So again, one way to understand is it's just a translation of the word. Right. And the other possibility, a stronger possibility, is that it's talking about a valley. Did someone just come in?
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Go down to the principal's office.
Is somebody late?
I was figuring 8 o'clock. So
I left a message on your machine. I didn't get something.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for your concern.
Do we have a sheet? We do have a sheet.
Yeah.
How far into the chapter are you?
We just read verse number 12.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I have nothing much.
Okay.
We are just chugging along here.
Excellent. Did you start at 7:45?
So he said, okay. He said, you know what? Let's go to the Givah in Binyamin. He said, okay, so we're either going to go to the Givah or the Ramah being the high place, you know, and once, and, you know, we'll spend the night there. So, as the sun sets, they're entering the Givah in Binyamin. So, obviously, they've got no place to stay, so they go into the middle of the street, figuring that someone will invite us in. And, in fact, no invites. They get shut out. So they ran into an old gentleman. The old gentleman happens to not be from around here. He's from the tribe of Ephraim. But of course, this is the tribe of... Which tribe are we in?
Benjamin.
We're in the tribe of Benjamin in Binyamin. Right? So most of the people there are people who are from Binyamin.
Where did it say Binyamin? Did I miss that?
Yeah, it's at the end. The local people were
B'nai Yemini. But okay. Also look at Yudalit 14. What did it say there?
They passed on their way and went
to Binyamin.
Yeah.
Right. So again, we had it a little earlier. It said that they were going into Binyamin.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So again, here they are. They've crossed into Binyamin. And there's a guy who's not a local. So the older gentleman sees the fellow who's visiting, and he says, so, where are you from? What brings you to this part of town? He said, well, you know, I'm coming from Beis Lechem Yehuda. Basically, that's where he went to pick up his wife. And I'm going back to Ephraim, the mountains of Ephraim, that's where I'm from. And here I am, and no one's invited me in. He said, listen, I've got plenty of food. I don't need anybody to feed me. I just need someone to invite me in. He said, listen, don't stay in the street. He said, listen, don't stay in the street. Come join me. Whatever you're missing, I'll help you out. Join me. Is anyone beginning to get a feeling that this is like another story?
Yeah, when the people were just not good people.
Be more specific.
Well, earlier in Shoftim, we had the same problem where the people weren't very nice. And wasn't it in Ephraim?
That was Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, I assume you're talking about here in Shoftim, yeah?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about what Marsha's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that's one place where
who
they...
remembers the story? What was the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Who was visiting?
Only there were two men that turned out to be angels, and Lot was willing to take them in, but the people weren't very nice.
Okay, and so far, what do we have in our story?
No one seems to be willing to take them in.
Except for this one old man,
right?
And then these people are stuck in the street beforehand. Now, what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah afterwards? Once he takes them in,
the people actually attack the house of Lot, and he tries to give up his daughters and all that.
Okay,
I don't hear that here so far.
Well, listen up.
Okay.
So they enter the house, they wash their feet, they eat and drink. The people come, start banging on the door. They say, let us take the man out so we, in fact, can have our way with him.
Yeah. With him.
Is that with him? Sound familiar?
Yes.
Chav Gimel, Vayetze Aleihem Aish Bal Habayis, Vayom Aleihem, Alachai Al Tareyuna, Achrei Asher Bo Aish Hazeh Al Beisi Al Tasu Asanavola Hazos. He says, please, he's come to visit me, he's my guest. Do not do something like that. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Chav Dalad. Hine biti abesula. Upilak sheu otzina osam v'anu osam v'yasu lahem ato b'nechem. O'isha zevo tasu davar nevola hazos.
Same thing.
Here, he has a concubine. I have a daughter. Take them instead.
Yeah.
Isn't this sounding an awful lot like the same story?
It is. And how are we supposed to understand this with the Jewish people?
There was correct. No. So you're pointing out that as bothersome as the first story was,
right,
this one is worse because it's our people.
Correct. Also, where do people have the idea? Where does this come from that you bang on the door of people and take the strangers out of them their houses? Where does that custom come from?
I'm not going to mention any community in particular.
I mean, it shows up again. That's kind of frightening.
Correct. We have to keep that this story is it's scary how similar it is, how it exactly parallels.
Right.
Chafei v'lovu hanashim lishmo alovi yechazek ha'ish b'pilak show. Now, unlike the other story, there is no fire and brimstone that's coming to save them.
Right.
But rather, they take up the offer on the concubine, and they have their way with her all night. And then they just leave her there. Needless to say, there's a lot to be said. Let's start with number seven. The Ramban in Parshas Vayera, with the story of the Sodom and Gomorrah, he points out that we're dealing with a very similar story here. Vidava Havain, note, he says, Ki inyan pilegesh begiva afa bishu nidmele inyanaze eina kamola roa. So it says that even though these two stories seem to be the same, Sodom and Gomorrah are worse. Ki yarashom mehem lo hayadaitam l'chalos haregel mimkomam, al yishtu feizim avratzu gam b'mishka v'ish areya. So the story really sounds alike, right? Both of them are interested in the man who is visiting. V'kasher hotzi aleyam pilakshon ispai yizba. There, they took them up on the offer. Said, okay, we'll take the pilegesh. Fine. And he knew that they wouldn't bother with his daughter. They were happy. They were fine. He said, let's remember, the Ramban says, this lady was no tzaddikas. She wasn't actually his wife, and she already had been unfaithful. So you put that together, and you know, it was not good.
I was going to say, what happens to her humanity?
What?
Her humanity.
I understand. So the Ramban says, both of these stories are terrible stories. He'll agree to that. But he thinks that the story by Sodom and Gomorrah is worse than the story here in Shoftim.
I disagree with him.
So does the Akedas Yitzchak. Another thing that Hattie and the Akedas Yitzchak have in common.
There you go.
There's so much you guys have in common, it's scary. Sometimes I confuse the two. I'll be sitting there and I'll say, it says in the Patty, I mean Akedas Yitzchak. I just, you know, it catches me off guard sometimes. That's just me, though, I guess.
I guess.
So, the Akedas Yitzchak, Hinei HaRamban Zal, Heilitz Ba'adam, Tainos Rabbos Hatzil Meirosam. He said, if you look at the Ramban tries to cover up for these people a little bit. Says they're not great, but how terrible are they?
Terrible.
He said the story is exactly parallel. In the first one, there's no people in the marketplace. The second one, there's no people in the marketplace. Here it says no one's going to let him in. Right, in both cases, who brings him in? An outsider. Lot had moved in from elsewhere. This man had come from Har Ephraim. But Ubagiva, he's not involved in Maaseh Be'er, V'ish Ephraim, who gar Begiva. V'yisav Einar V'yav, V'gam Shomar, Rak Rechov Al Talim. Both of them say, do us a favor, don't sleep in the street. Right, so both of them are making the same pitch. Both of them said, and then the house gets surrounded. He says, look at the parallelism. How can you say it's not the same story? He said, over and over, both times they make an offer. Both times the offer gets rejected. He says, and not only that, let's compare them. In the case of Sodom, in the end, did they do any sin?
Well, no, because God blinded them.
Correct. In this case, did they sin?
Yes, yeah, badly. Over and over.
So how can you say that Sodom was worse? At the end of the day, Sodom did nothing. And these people eventually raped the woman to death.
Right.
So the Akedas Yitzchak says, I don't buy this Ramban that they weren't as bad. He says, I hate to say it, but the Jews were worse than Saddam. And not only that, but the people in Sodom had no one to learn from. The people here had the Torah. They knew what they did in Sodom. They knew what happened to those people in Sodom. And still, they did it. And not only that, he said, when the other tribes, little spoiler alert, go and attack Binyamin, they deserved it. So he says the bottom line is, he goes on to talk a little bit about the later war, but he said the bottom line is that the people here are worse than the people in Saddam. Because at the end of the day, what they did was worse. So that's how bad it is.
And what should we learn from this?
Well, again, the story ain't over yet. So the message isn't in.
It doesn't get much better, actually, but I'm saying, if you just stopped here, what am I?
If I stopped here, I would be upset. But we're going to go on a little bit more. We'll finish the chapter, and then at the end of the chapter, I'll still be upset.
Me too.
Okay.
Be upset.
Me, you, and the Akedas Yitzchak, the three of us.
Exactly.
Chav Vav 26, Vatavo Ha'isha Lifnos Haboker Vatipo Pesach Besa Ha'ish Asher Adonai Hashem Ad Ha'or. She goes and she collapses on the doorway in the morning. Now here, this is very sweet. Vayakom Adonai Baboker Vayiftav Dasos Habayis Vayetzir Alechas Redarko Vinei Ha'isha Pirak Shonofelas Pesach Ma'i V'Adel Asaf. He opens up the door. And there she is lying with her hands on the doorstep. So what does a good man say? He says, all right, honey, let's go.
Oh, he's such a nice guy.
What a guy. She does not answer. So he picks her up and he puts her on the donkey.
All so right. do we understand from the language she's alive or dead here?
So we don't understand anything at this point.
Okay, because I didn't understand.
Right, if you look at the Mitzudas David, if you're curious, right, the Mitzudas David, so again, Rashi here says, the Ein Oneh, anyone have Rashi?
Yeah. I don't, they have Rashi.
So Rashi says, "Ve'ein oneh," two words, "ki mesa." She didn't respond. Why? Because she's dead.
So Rashi thinks she's dead at this point.
Right. The Mitzvah's David writes, right, that in fact, right, "Vayomer elei adayin lo hirgish basha mesa." He didn't realize originally that she was dead when he was talking to her.
Don't you think he'd noticed when he's putting her up on the donkey?
So it could be at that point he finally caught on. But by the end of the parak, he's definitely going to know. Yes. He goes and he cuts her into 12 pieces and mails out the pieces to all of the shoftim. And He says, we cannot stand for something like this. We better get together and figure out what to do. So he, in fact, does this to her to encourage everybody to take revenge against Binyamin. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in number 10 on the sheet, has a very fascinating question, and it leads to an important discussion here. So he's talking about, he says, Hine ha-shelos ha-muzaros ma'od ba'avon ha-sein ha-rav mitzad ha-gezeros ha-noros ha-shem bevate ha-chom sh'meret Yisrael shel nituach ha-mesim. At the time in Israel, there were laws requiring autopsies. So again, in general, as we said, we as Jewish people, unless it's the most extreme of cases, we don't allow autopsies.
Cut her up.
What? Because again, the body should be buried whole.
Right.
We believe that it's the wrong thing to do. So therefore, people were protesting. This is where it gets a little ugly.
Wait a minute. People were protesting with what thing here?
People were protesting in Israel that the hospital should not do autopsies.
And I get that part.
So what don't you get?
Who's doing an autopsy here? We're talking about the...
When he cut her up in 12 pieces.
Well, again, this is a practical 20th century question.
Right.
Right? So in the 20th century in Israel, they're having a problem with autopsies.
Right.
So there are protests. So here's the question. People wanted to bring limbs from the autopsies to the protest in order to make a point.
Got it. Now I'm with you.
Oh, so he's...
I warned you.
How did this... What does this got to do with him?
He's going to tell us.
Okay. Don't be sad.
Okay. So, he said, because if you do this, obviously, this would create, obviously, a very strong statement, shall we say. To hear about it, to see it's nothing like it. Obviously, would make I agree with that. And perhaps this will lead them to change the law. And in fact, you see from this case in Shoftim, that you're allowed to use parts of a body in order to get people riled up. That they cut him into 12 pieces. He said, in fact, he went and he sent it out to the people in order that they should rise to action. So these people during these protests in Israel want to do the same thing. Take body parts so people can rise to action. Moshe Feinstein, anyone want to guess what he says before we read it?
I'm going to guess he doesn't think this is a good idea.
Well, I don't see how you can use this as an example, like, that this is
a good thing
when they did, it says that they didn't have a king and they were doing all these bad things. So how can you look at something that they're doing and saying, oh, they weren't following the Torah. The Shoftim chapter.
Is they the people who raped her?
Well, we know they didn't do
it. Yeah, we know them, but what about him?
So you're saying, is the guy a good guy or a bad guy? Should I be learning things out of this guy? So that's what Moshe Feinstein says. So what's the story with this guy? So Isha Adam Kosher. Was he a good guy or not? Because you're going to bring a proof from him only if he's someone I could trust. Right? That's exactly the point. Again, Judy and Ramosha Feinstein, lockstep as always. He said, well, let's go back to what we discussed early on. He said, why did we say that he found a fly in the soup. Why not say that she, in fact, was unfaithful?
Because
he wouldn't have taken her back. The fact that he wouldn't take her back indicates that he was perhaps a religious man. It means that we can rely on him.
Oh, yeah.
So he says that, in fact, would seem to point the other way. Maybe he is an okay guy. However, at the end of the day, maybe he didn't take her back just because, you know what? Maybe it's just in general that people, if a person is not religious, if your wife's unfaithful, you throw her out. Maybe it's not a statement whatsoever indicating that, in fact, this wasn't something that was right. So he goes through that and he explains that at the end of the day, he does not believe. He says, he's questioning. So let's go to the last few lines. He said, Mitosuf Shemrach, Raya Shahi Adam Kosher, Shoya Khoshul Avar, Afa Minuk, Shahubishvil Migdir Milson. Ach Shaya Kosher, also Shenata Pilan Shal Aras Kola Amisor Yasa did, Yeshka Melosh Mizet, Mizet, Shemutta Gamma, Ashos Kever, every mace, Lavi Al Savarim. He says, so maybe in fact you can rely on him. So he says that, in fact, he might not think it's a good idea, but at the end of the day, Rav Moshe Feinstein does think that one could say that he was actually a good guy. So the fact that, you know, so he had a concubine, maybe it was allowed in those days. And overall, he was a religious man, and this happened. And in fact, he might have been right to send it out. That being said, we don't recommend it.
The people who did the protest, were they referring to this, or did they just do it?
No, again, they asked the question, and they referred to this. They said, if this guy can do it,
then what about us?
They didn't do it.
At the end of the day, I think they didn't do it, thankfully. You'll be happy to know. So once again, we are ending on a down note.
I want to go back to this idea of these good or bad. I mean, we don't know. I understand these interpretations, and all reference to Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein.
Yeah.
Even if he's an Am Haaretz kind of guy, I mean, he's got to be so outraged by. No matter whether he's from or he's not from, he's so outraged that he does this outrageous response to what's happened to him and to his mate.
Yeah, let's go.
Exactly. I mean, he puts something into action that he knows will be horrendously, you know, seen and make people be up in arms.
Right. So it definitely works.
Right, but it's a horrible thing to do. It's horrible all around.
I would not recommend it, no.
So, again, I'm on the fence whether he's good or bad, which is what the rabbis are discussing here.
Right. So bottom line is, here we are in a very disturbing story. And we'll see what happens next week.
Wow.
Rabbi, aren't you coming in next week?
One second. Can we stick to the story for a second? The show team for a second.
Yeah.
So I want to understand the Ramban argument why Sodom is worse. Why is it worse?
It's right. His argument that Sodom is worse, right? It was a very short argument. And he says... He said that, in fact, the people in the people in this story are ultimately satisfied with the Pilegesh, as opposed to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. They just kept on going. They would not be satisfied until they did actually the worst thing they could do.
Okay, which they didn't do because they were blinded and they were stopped.
Because God struck them down.
Right. He still sees it at work. It's an interesting. This is one of the very few times I don't agree with the Ramban.
Okay. That's fine.
I usually like it.
Hopefully he'll get by, but you know. All right.
Good night. Bye.
Right. Marcia, to answer your question, I'm coming in a week from Sunday.
Oh, a week from. So you're going to just come in right before Rosh Hashanah.
Right. I get in early. I arrive like at 9:30 in the morning. So it's plenty of room.
Very nice. A week from the Sunday.
So I'm cutting it close, but we should be on next Thursday night.
Okay.
Very
good. Right, have a good Shabbos.
You too. Good Shabbos, Rabbi. Regards to everyone. Yikes.
When did you call? I was gone. I mean, I checked my service. She called home. But the question is, what time? Because I did check my service today. So I'm asking yet again this week, what time will we meet next week? Because the day of is often too close. When did I call you? Long in and out.
What's your number again?
Which one? Well, you have two. One ends in 5556.
That's the one I called.
Oh, okay.
I called at 5:21.
Okay. I had checked it before 5:21, so I did not get the message. Sorry. So what time are we meeting next week, Alan?
No.
I didn't find any meetings.
Oh. Nobody's asking you, Siri.
We're not talking.
Stay out of it.
Please.
See, body.
So probably 7:30 would work.
7:30? All right.
7:30 could work.
And again, I had such a great time at your house. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. I ate those peaches, by the way. They were so good.
Aren't they good?
Delicious.
I'm like holding on to one of them that's getting, you know, like,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, and they were so good. I ate them both. I didn't even share.
Oh.
So I hope you had enough to eat.
I had enough to eat.
Oh,
it was so much food.
Really?
And your company was fun. Different. Hebra.
Yeah.
Well, you knew the guys there, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Shlomo was always yanking my chain.
But you knew Shana.
I did know Shana. I'd never met her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Before, so I didn't realize he was Swedish and all that. Kind of interesting. And I didn't know he was vegetarian, which he did.